the worst offender now is the Islamic ideology. And as what our guest Dave Bailey just said in the last segment, that what makes Islamic ideology so critical in this matter is that they, as a religion, as the religion component, political system, they are bent on dominating the world. So there's a great zealousness behind what they're doing. And because of Sharia law concept, it empowers the individual to take power or action into their own hands. Now, there are some governments in the Middle East, some of the worst offenders are Pakistan and Somalia and Sudan. These are Muslim nations, by and large. But it's the combining with the empowering of the individual. That's an interesting point we want to bring out here. But the reality of it is that Christian persecution is undeniable. It is on the increase. There are more being persecuted now than, as far as we can tell by looking back, than has ever happened. The drivers of persecution, though, regardless of the circumstance, will always surface where the citizens or the nation's leaders deny the God of the Bible, they deny the person of Jesus Christ, and they embrace the lie that says that man can become God. At that point, then things begin to really unwind. So whether the ideology is emperor worship with Nero, communism with Stalin, or Nazism with Hitler, or Islam with Muhammad, or Hinduism we're talking about, any of these, the question is, what can we do about it as Christian persecution is increasing around the world? And Gary, I want to go to you first from your perspective here. You just said you're going to be going to China. You've already suffered a little bit because they basically said, we won't let you into our country unless you promise not to speak about Christ. That's an amazing thing, Gary. So it's happening in a lot of ways, but persecution, you said earlier, shouldn't come as a surprise for those who truly live godly, but build that out just a little bit about the reality of persecution, just so we know that regardless of where we are, what country we may find ourselves in, that point that Christ made is eternally true.
Well, it is, and of course, I'm actually going to India, not China this time.
I got that wrong. It was India, yes, sir.
But it's the same neck of the woods, I guess. But yeah, I am doing that. But you talk about 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 that says that, you know, we can expect persecution to a certain degree. But I also think of 1 Peter, and I would encourage every one of you who are listening today to do some studying in 1 Peter, because it's dedicated to preparing us, equipping us for suffering. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Then he says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." And then, of course, it goes on. So you see, that goes back to what our definition of persecution is, being persecuted for the cause of Christ, not for something we might do necessarily that would be wrong, but being persecuted or reproached because of the fact that we are standing for Jesus Christ. So in reality, I think that throughout the pages of Scripture, Sam, you can see that persecution should not come as a surprise, even though it is true that we here in the United States of America don't face persecution to any degree compared to what many other countries of the world do.
And Gary, you did not say it, but I'm just going to put in, ladies and gentlemen, we should therefore pray for those. We may not be able to help directly, but we can pray for those. But we can also, there are entities, Open Doors USA and others are entities that help them. There are other groups. And us bringing these things to attention are a part of what we can do.